Again, we are glad if you are visiting that you are here with us this morning. We appreciate that very, very much. Some of you may be here for the first time, and if there are anything that we say or do and you have a question, don't you hesitate to ask about that. I know that I am glad that Cherry is going to be secretary. I know they didn't say her name, but that's who that is, and we are glad of that, and I'll break her in for a week, and then after that, she'll have relief. I've got a busy 3 weeks after this week, and it's just going to be crazy, but we're glad that you're here this morning. Glenn was wondering, and he always wonders about me. Am I going to preach on fathers? I didn't preach on moms, so am I going to preach on fathers? Well, folks, moms don't need it. Now, dads, that's a different story. A father. Folks, a father is probably one of the most important roles upon the face of the earth. And just because a man has brought a child into this world does not make that individual a good father. And just because a man pays child support as a, quote, father does not mean that that man is a good father. And just because a man has a house and in that house are children, and he provides them a place of residence for 18 years, does not make that man a good father. I am certain that most of the men who are in this audience are doing the best that they can possibly do to become good fathers. But if you talk to any one of us, each one of us will say we have fallen short. There are places wherein we could do better. And one thing that each one of us could do better is to look at the example of a perfect father and follow in his footsteps. And that perfect father is none other than our heavenly Father who resides in heaven. God in the long ago created Adam and Eve, placed them into the Garden of Eden, and at that time he was their father. In fact, Luke 3 verse 38 refers to Adam as the Son of God. And what I want us to do is to go into those early chapters of Genesis. And let's note some of the things that we can learn about God as the perfect Father. Point number one, as a father, God provided for his children. When we turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, we learn that he provided them a home, and that home was known as the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 1, verse 29, he provided them food in the form of herbs and also in the form of the fruit trees in the Garden of Eden. He also provided them with water, for in Genesis 2 verse 10, we are told that a river flowed out of the Garden of Eden. Home, food, water. God provided for the basics of man at that particular time. And it is man's responsibility as a father to make certain that he provides adequately for his family. If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Now, dads, let's caution you on something. God provided for the basics for Adam and Eve. In our society today, man is pushed to provide for more than just the basics, is he not? We think that we have to have all the luxuries, all the expensive items, all the extras, all the things that my heart desires and longs for. And as a father, we want to try to please our children, and we want to try to provide all of those extras, but oftentimes we do that to our detriment, and oftentimes we do it to the detriment of our children as well. There are some things that a man just needs to say no to. There are some things that we need to put a limit on and say, look, guys, the only thing that I am required to provide for you are the necessities, the basics of life, because there are other things that are extremely more important than all the luxuries of this world. But a man, a good father, will provide for the basics of life. Point number two. A good father found in God has expectations for his children. We turn to Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Got a question. Could God have put man into the Garden of Eden and have him do absolutely nothing in that garden? Absolutely. Folks, God could have kept that garden, couldn't he? I mean, it was he who had created it. It was he who had put all of the plants and things therein. Surely he had the ability as God to take care of that garden, but he didn't, did he? He had expectations for his children. I want you, Adam, to dress the garden, and I want you to keep the garden. There are certain things that I expect of you. It's interesting that in many homes today, the expectations that are placed upon children are almost nil. Do you know that? It's amazing to me. If you go around and you ask certain children, do your parents expect you to take care of your room? Nah, I don't have to do that. Mom does that for me. Dad doesn't expect it either. I just do whatever I want. I go in like a tornado and somebody else comes in behind me and cleans up. No expectations. Parents ought to expect their children to have chores to do in the house. You're a part of this household. You're supposed to be a responsible individual in the household. They need to have chores to do in that household on a regular basis. They need to learn how to take care of their clothes, don't they? Doesn't hurt anybody to learn how to wash clothes. Doesn't hurt anybody to learn how to fold clothes. Doesn't hurt anybody to learn how to iron clothes. Doesn't hurt anybody to know how to put away some clothes. Folks, that's kind of healthy, in fact. You know, it's amazing to me when a child gets up to be 16, 17 years old, that oftentimes there are no expectations in those homes of those children working outside the home. No job, don't need to do anything. You just laze around here like a bum. That's okay. I'll provide everything you need. You don't need to work. Folk, work is good for a young person, isn't it? It gives them responsibility. It gives them money to purchase things that they desire. It causes them to have to learn how to handle their finances. It gives them freedom to do some things that they could not do had they not had their own money. It's good to teach a child to work. I am astounded today to see some of these protests that go on in the United States of America. Individuals go to a certain place, camp out for months, and I'm scratching my head wondering, what in the world do you do for a living? Folks, I can't take 3 months off and camp out on somebody's doorstep. Can you? I can't do that. How do you stay there 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14 weeks? There's things that need to be done. Apparently they weren't taught to what? To work. It was interesting that when I was at the children's home in Paragould, some of those kids, they wanted to work. I said, I'll guarantee you get a job in 1 week if you'll do what I tell you to do. They couldn't believe it. Well, Mr. Vick, what do you want us to do? I want you to go to every fast food restaurant in this town, and I just want you to walk in and say, I want an application. Get an application, walk out. Go home, fill out all 10 of them. Day two, go back into those restaurants and say, hey, I need to talk to the manager. Manager comes out, you hand him the application. Here, this is my application to work here. I want to work today if I can. I'm interested. You look this over. You go to all 10, you tell them that. Day three, you get on the phone. Call McDonald's. Call Wendy's. Call Burger King. I know, oh, I don't want to work there. Yeah, that's where you're going to work. Call and say, hey, I need to talk to the manager. Manager gets on the phone. Hello, this is Vic. I was in your place of business yesterday, and I handed you an application, and I told you I want to work, and you hadn't called me yet. You want to know what? I've never had a time within 1 week that a child wasn't on the payroll at a fast food restaurant working. Did you know that? That's how easy it is, folks. It's not hard. We got to get our kids out there and get them a little ambition and teach them how to work, don't we? What about schoolwork? Folks, we need to have expectations with regard to schoolwork. Well, I tell you what, as soon as my kids came in from school, it wasn't just my expectations. Boy, Kathleen was all over them kids. You get you a snack, you have fun for 15, 20 minutes, and guess what? The next hour is where? Right here. You're doing homework. Expectations. You know what we do if we don't have expectations for young people? We turn them into lazy, self-centered, dependent individuals. That's what we turn them into. As vinegar in the teeth and as smoke in the eyes, so is a sluggard unto them that send him. Proverbs 10, verse 26. Folks, don't turn your children into sluggards and lazy individuals. Dads, have expectations for those kids and set those expectations high, and you make dead certain that they fulfill those expectations in your house. I should highlight one. That includes church services. Let me tell you what, I go home to my mama's house, and guess what? You go to my mama's house, you're going to church Sunday, and you're going Sunday night, and you're going Wednesday night. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Folks, I'm 52 years old. I go to my mama's house, I'm going to church. There's no doubt about that. You set expectations for those children, and you make those children live up to those expectations. Point number three, good fathers set limits upon their children. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but, here comes the limit, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Limits. Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree in this garden. Anyone you want to, except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is off limits to you. You cannot eat of that tree. Folks, what's God doing? God's setting boundaries, is he not? He's telling these kids what they can do and what they can't do. And that is exactly what is needed in homes today. Young people need boundaries. They need limits in their home. Limits on TV. Limits on computer. Limits on telephone. They need some boundaries on those things, folks. They also need boundaries on some other things. They need boundaries on what they wear and can't wear. You don't just let them out here going hog wild with their clothing. You have a right to tell them, no, you ain't getting no tattoo and no piercing in this house. You can do that. That's your responsibility if that's what you desire in your home. What about their friends? You are not having that friend. That's a dad's responsibility. Folks, we have to protect our children, and those boundaries do exactly that, do they not? They put a boundary of expectation around our children that is really there to protect that child from the evil influences that are without. Now, here's something that's interesting. With every boundary that is set, there needs to be a consequence placed thereon. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's the consequence. Every rule needs a what? Needs a consequence. Every rule. This is what you can do, or this is what you can't do. And if you don't do it, or if you do do it, guess what? There is a consequence that's going to come on you. Cut the grass, boy. And if you don't, you go nowhere this weekend. You come home that afternoon, grass isn't cut. Guess what? He go nowhere that weekend. Who made that choice? Well, Dad did. He said I couldn't do that. No, he did not. He gave you the choice, right? Cut the grass, guess what? Got the weekend. Don't cut the grass, no weekend. You chose not to cut the grass. You want to know what else you chose? The consequence. You know that? That's easy, simple parenting, folks. Parenting 101. For every rule, there's a what? There's a consequence placed thereon. But it is up to good fathers, good parents, to make dead certain that they set boundaries upon their children. Number four. God, as a perfect father, spent time with his children. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the coolness of the day. Genesis 3, verse 8. Folks, that verse tells me that the presence of God had entered in to the home of Adam and Eve, hadn't it? Deism is a doctrine that states that God created the world and that God has withdrawn himself and that God is not an active player in our world at all. He is not actively engaged in the life of his creation. Folks, that is a false doctrine. God created Adam and Eve, and guess what? He walked in the cool of the garden. He was in fellowship with those individuals. He had a role that he played in their lives. And dads need to play an active role in the lives of their children, don't they? 49 minutes. 49 minutes. That's what the average father spends per day in the life of his child. 49 minutes. 6.5 hours. Per week, dads spend in the lives of their children on average. It's unbelievable, isn't it? They watch more football than they do spending time with their children. And if you come from a broken home, a divorced home, that percentage of time diminishes greatly. One in three children today, these come from the state of Florida. One in three children in the state of Florida does not even live in the house with their father. Folks, that's a lot of kids, isn't it? If you don't live with them, how in the world are you going to see them? It's going to be difficult, especially on a daily basis, isn't it? Now watch this. Of those 34%, 40% of them have not seen their father in 1 year. That's a long time to have no father influence in the life of a child. Dads, spend some time with your kids. Take off a little time at work. Quit trying to buy every new fad on the market. And spend a little time in the lives of those kids. Well, I like to spend quality time with my children. You see, we've been pawned a lie in our society. Did you know that? That it is possible somehow for me to fabricate quality time with my kids. Folks, you can't fabricate that. Did you know that? There have been many a time that I said, you know, I think I'm going to spend a little time with my kid. And you know what it turned into? It turned into the most terrible time in all the world. Fighting, kicking, scratching, arguing. You're going, whoa, if this is quality time, I don't want no other. You want to know when quality time is made? When you spend quantity of time with your children. That's when quality time is made. All of a sudden, you're spending a lot of time, and you look back on the past 2 or 3 hours, and you want to know what? That last 20 minutes, that was quality time with my child. It took 3 hours to get there, and I got 20 minutes of quality time. But folks, it's well worth it. You know that? Well worth it. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Number 5. God, as the perfect Father, held His children accountable. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid and hid myself because I was naked. Now guess what God didn't do, folks? He didn't ignore the statement. He didn't sweep the statement under the rug. He didn't act as if Adam didn't make that statement. Do you know what he said? Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it? Folks, he held that man accountable, did he not? He immediately confronted the behavior of his children. You've done exactly what I told you not to do. Folks, parents are the world's worst today to just ignore a child's bad behavior. It blows my mind. And that's especially true when it comes to spiritual things. Just don't say anything to them. Don't bother them. Maybe they'll come around. Folks, are you kidding me? We need to hold our kids accountable for their behavior. What you are doing is not right. What you are doing is sinful. What you are doing is wrong. What you are doing is going to hurt you. What you are going to do needs to change. And God's discipline was immediate, wasn't it? If you don't believe that, go home and read Genesis chapter 3. Immediate discipline upon those individuals. And guess what? Everybody who was involved, every player, God held accountable, did he not? Adam, Eve, and the serpent. Every one of them was held accountable. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. A parent has to discipline their children. A parent has to hold that child accountable for their wrong behavior. If you do not, there is absolutely no way that you can truly say that I love my children. Point number 6. A good father provides his children with wonderful hope. Adam and Eve had sinned. Adam and Eve were not high on the approval list of the Almighty God. God was issuing forth each one of their sentences. And in the very midst of it, guess what he does? He holds out hope to mankind, doesn't he? And God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first messianic prophecy in all of the Bible, the first prophecy of Jesus Christ. The seed of woman is coming, God says. Yes, Adam and Eve have messed up. They've sinned against me. But guess what? I'm going to send my son into the world. And yes, Satan, you'll bruise his heel. You'll place him upon the cross of Calvary, and yes, you'll try to slay him, but guess what? He's going to strike a crushing blow to your head. He's going to bruise your head by the resurrection on the third day, and there is absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. And the sin that's been committed here by my children today is going to be rectified, and there is hope for mankind still. children need hope. Can you imagine how Adam and Eve felt that day? In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, God had promised in Genesis 2:17. That day came, and they didn't die. What hope? God, why aren't we going to die? Why haven't you slain us? Because I have a plan. And that plan is to redeem you from all of these transgressions. What hope God gave those children. Folks, children need hope, don't they? They need hope. We don't need to constantly be running our children into the ground about how bad they are. You little rug rat. I don't know whose you are. What planet did you come from? It's amazing how sometimes parents treat their children, isn't it? We need high desires and expectations for our kids. You sit that child down, you look that child in the eyes, and you tell them there's nothing that you can't do if you want to do it. Do you hear what I said? That you can't do if you want to do it. Not that I want you to do. Sometimes we bring our children up and we want them to be something, don't we? You need to be a lawyer so that when I get older, you can take care of all my business for me. See, we have all these kind of desires. No, let the child choose and then tell him, guess what? I know you can do it. Then give him the guidance, give him the direction, give him the governing that he needs in order to accomplish those goals. And all along, you keep telling that individual, yes, you can, yes, you can. Words of encouragement. And when they succeed, words of praise to those children. Wow, I knew you could do it. Fantastic. You've done great. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3, verse 21. It is God who has set fathers in the family, is it not? Goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. The most important role in the home is that of a dad. And what we need in our society today is fathers who take that role seriously. I'm a father. God has put me here. And I have got to do the very best I can do as a dad in harmony with the will of the Almighty God. And how better to do that than using God the Father as your perfect example. A father who provides for his children. A father who has expectations for his children. A father who sets boundaries and limits upon his children. A father who spent time with his children. A father who is willing to hold those children accountable. And a father who gave his children great hope, even in the midst of sin and adversity. Dads, we need you to rise up and do what God expects of you as a father. You know, there's a lot of people in our society today, sadly, who either don't have fathers or they don't have good fathers. Many of those individuals have hearts that ache because of that. But one of the most wonderful things is that you do have a father. And he longs for you and he yearns for you. He created you, and yes, by means of sin and iniquity, we've separated ourselves from him. And yet through his precious son, Jesus Christ, that relationship can be restored and we can be his children, can we not? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. How do I become that child? How do I enter into that relationship? For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, according to Galatians 3:26. But that's not a faith only. For the very next verse says this: for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Folks, when your faith moves you to obey the gospel of Christ and you repent of sins, confess His precious name and are baptized into Christ, you enter into the family of the living God, having been born again, and God will be your Father. At that point, and I don't mean this disrespectful to dads, but this is true. At that point, who really needs an earthly father? I've got all I need in God. Isn't that true? Do you need a father today? Maybe you need to obey the gospel. Maybe you as a child of God have erred from the Father. You fled from Him as did the prodigal. Won't you come to yourself and return? What's interesting is the Father stands eagerly at the window and awaits your return. And when you come, He will reward you back into the family. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?